This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. This week's message, entitled Remembering Our Teachers, is in honor of teachers and inspired by Teacher Appreciation Week. This message was delivered on May 6th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you thank Frank? Hey, wait, stay up here a little while. Proverbs 16:9, Frank. Wonderful scripture. Commit your works to the Lord and they will succeed. I love that scripture. Beautiful. Do you know Frank is the chaplain down at our racetrack, our newly opened racetrack? Some Sundays he may not be here. He may be doing a service down at the racetrack, which is like an awesome job. We got him a tent and everything. We're putting him through this class called Creative Biblical Communication, so he'll be able to creatively preach the Bible to the people who race cars. That's his heart, and that's what he does. Pray for him that he will be Jesus down at the racetrack. Right on. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah. Thank you, ushers. Hey, yesterday was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday, I got to go down to the KL shelter to see what kind of needs they have. They have a lot of food. They have a lot of water. They cannot cook anything over there because they don't have a certified kitchen. And we cannot cook stuff in our kitchen and take it to them because of the laws, which is really sad. But that's how it is. But, I mean, at least the one in KL, they're in a location where there's, like, McDonald's and some food places that they can go to. They do have my number. They will be calling me if they needed anything. So yesterday, they called me. They needed some tarps and some onesies. I said, onesies? What is a onesie? It's like, it's those onesies, those ones that kids wear. No, what is a onesie? It's like, so I had to grab my wife, pull her out of the house with no makeup, take her down to Walmart, and we had to look for some tarps and some onesies. Thank God she knows what onesies are, man. Oh, I was like, what is that? She goes, never mind. The lady at the shelter, just get the tarps. But I got my wife. I got to take her down. We found the onesies. We found the tarps. We took it to the shelter. It's like, phew, okay. So they have my number in case they need anything. There was like 30 people over there on Friday night. And then I don't know how much they were last night, but I think the greatest need right now is volunteers. So if you want to write that down, it's a long stuff, but that will bring you to a link to the Red Cross's volunteer sign up at the Pahoa Community Center. So if you want to write that down, www.signupgenius.com/go/30E0. Okay, so that's a zero. C for FAB92-5FF2-assist. Take a picture. Some of you smart. Take a picture of that screen. And that's the greatest need right now, because tomorrow morning, everybody who's volunteering, they might have to go back to work. So they're looking for spots to be filled. I think especially I think it's like 4-hour shifts. So if you're like a young person, man, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m., that's your shift, man. Remember back in the day, those were the party hours, right? Mine was all the way to 4 a.m. though. But if you can volunteer, go to that site and go sign up. And in the meantime, can you guys keep praying for those people who got evacuated, and even for the lava to stop? I know it's a big prayer, and I know God hears our every word. I can't even imagine what they may be going through, those who evacuated. Anybody here has been evacuated? Anybody? Nobody? Anybody know anybody who has been evacuated? Okay. Do they need anything? Okay. If they do, let us know how we can help. I know the guy who was on the news, the one says got gas. He's the guy who sells the propane for Kaleo on Kaleo's day off. And he was saying how he built his dream house for him and his wife, and now they had to evacuate. Pastor Aaron knows the person of that fifth house that just burnt down. And it's like, man, what do you do, yeah? And for us, we know that all we need is God, right? And that's a good thing. But for those people who may not know God, they might be questioning him now. So we can pray for those who got evacuated, pray for their household stuff, that it'll be safe, if that there would be nobody going in and trying to break into these houses while they're gone. I think that's just absolutely terrible. And pray for the police and the fire who are trying to, you know, block that place off, because you know those guys are getting an earful from the residents who want to go back in. But there's a lot of things we can be praying for, so please keep them all in your prayers. And if you know people who have been evacuated and they have any needs, please let us know how we can help. And we'll be sure that we can find someone who can assist them in what they need. Amen? So we'll begin. Let's just pray for them right now. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we pray for those in Leilani Estates and the surrounding areas, those who have been evacuated. Lord, we ask that you would protect the homes that are left. Protect them from thieves. Protect them from the lava. Protect the workers, the police officers and firemen who are trying to keep the area safe from the toxic fumes. Lord, we pray that the lava would stop and would cease to flow and would go maybe just straight to the ocean without ruining any more homes. Lord, I pray for those who have been displaced, that you would provide for them shelter and a place to stay, a shower, eat, and sleep. And Lord, I pray that you would, those whose homes have been taken, Lord, that you would provide for them a brand new, better place for them to live. And in all this, Lord, I pray that each and every one of them who has been evacuated, that they would find you and that they would know that you are God, you are in control, and that you love them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week was Teachers Appreciation Weekend. How many of you appreciated your teachers? How many of you appreciate your children's teachers? You know, when you are at home and your five children are driving you nuts and crazy and they're irritating, they're screaming, they're spilling things, they're taking out their toys, they're messing the house up, and you think teachers got like 20 of them. Think about that. I think maybe you'd appreciate your teachers much, much more. I remember when I was in intermediate school, I had this English teacher, and she was young, she was single, and she was really pretty. I mean, I see her, she was really pretty. And I got an A in English, the only A I ever got in English. I wish my math teachers was that good looking. Maybe I would have studied harder. I think I had men math teachers, so I got like D's and F's. It's like, oh, man. Teachers, they go through so much nowadays. And I'm going to read you some statistics. January 22, a 15-year-old student was wounded in a shooting at a high school in Italy, Texas. January 23, in Kentucky, 15-year-old student shot 16 people, killing two other 15-year-olds at Marshall County High School. January 31st, Philadelphia, a fight led to a shooting in the parking lot of Lincoln High School. February 1st, Los Angeles, a 15-year-old boy was shot in the head and a 15-year-old girl shot in the wrist at South Castro Middle School in Los Angeles. February 5th, Oxon Hill, Maryland, a high school student was shot in the parking lot. February 9th, Nashville, a high school student was shot 5 times in a parking lot at Pearl Conn High School. February 14th, Parkland, Florida, we know this one, a 19-year-old gunman gunned down students and staff at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, slaughtering at least 17 unsuspecting students and adults. March 20th, Maryland, an armed student shot 2 others in Great Mill High School before a school resource officer fired a round at the shooter, and the shooter was killed. Now, more than ever, teachers and students, they're put in harm's way. And we expect more from our teachers than just teaching. We expect them to protect our children too. On top of the training on how to educate our students, they have to be trained in cases of active shooters. I mean, those things we never had to do back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe even the 90s. So now they gotta go to class to be trained how to teach the kids. Then they have to go to class and be trained what to do in an active shooter situation. And now they gotta be trained on what to do with an earthquake. I mean, they're being expected to do more and more. And across the country, teachers are grappling with their roles that have expanded. Now they're from an educator and counselor to bodyguard, to protector. I mean, they must be going to class. They're wondering, is my classroom properly equipped? Are these doors strong enough to repel bullets? Will bullets come through my windows? They wonder if they're safe. They wonder if they recognize signs of a dangerous student. And most of all, if they were prepared to jump in front of a bullet. On December 14, 2012, Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, 20-year-old Adam Lanza killed 26 people and himself. First killed his mother that she shared their home together. Then he took some guns, drove to the school. He killed 20 first grade children, aged 6 and 7, during the attack, along with 6 adults, including 4 teachers, the principal, and the school psychologist. I mean, think about it. Man, that is just absolutely awful. And somehow, when we hear about school violence, that just like has become the new norm. When we hear of things, we have become numb to them. We just go on like that's not, it's like normal. Every week we hear of something like this, and it's not normal. It shouldn't be normal. I mean, we have to worry now about sending our children to school. And teachers, they go to school wondering, like, am I going to be safe today? I mean, think about it. It's like, I would think only like policemen and firemen would be thinking like that. Is today going to be a safe day? But now our students and teachers are going to school wondering if it's going to be safe. This is not supposed to be normal. So today, as we remember our teachers, because this has been Teacher Appreciation Week, let's remember them, not only this week, but always. And number one, let's intercede for our teachers. How many of you actually have children in school? How many of you actually pray for their teachers? Some of you, okay, good. But I think we should all be praying for our teachers. Amen? In 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. A lot of times you may hear us talk about intercession using the phrase standing in the gap. And we use that in referring to when we pray for others. And sometimes we don't understand what that means, standing in the gap, but the word intercede comes from the Latin inter, and meaning between, and seed, meaning go. So it means go between. So we intercede, so we go between. And if you have a hard time understanding that, if you think of like a tile wall or a brick wall and the mortar that goes in between each layer and locks everything in between, that's the intercede is like the mortar. We go in between because without the mortar, the wall would fall down. Nothing would be holding it together. Yeah, so when we say intercede, stand in the gap, it's like we are the mortar between the teachers and God, or between that gap. Wherever there's a spiritual link, a weak link that needs an intercession, we stand in the gap. We are the mortar in that gap so that the defenses are strong. So when we say intercede, stand in the gap, that means we will intercede. We will stand in the gap for teachers and pray for them in whatever area that is needed. The enemy is out there. He's watching us. He's looking for the weak links, and we need to be that mortar. We need to stand in the gap. We need to intercede for one another to fill in those gaps. So how can we do this? How can we intercede? How can we stand in the gap for our teachers? Well, we can pray for their teaching, that they would come to love and enjoy their students. Because if you had a teacher child who did not love the students, who popped in videos every moment they can so they wouldn't have to teach, or they just didn't do their job as well as they could, they kind of was doing it just for the money. You heard of those kinds of teachers before, but we need to pray that they would love their students, they would enjoy their students. We need to pray that they would be excited about teaching. I mean, sometimes your teachers may be like, oh, I don't want to go to school today because my students are rotten, right? You know, I can imagine all my teachers saying that. I don't want to go to school today because that Scott is just going to come into the front row, put his head down, and sleep. And it made her so mad. And pray that they would be just and fair in their grading and their testing of the students. Pray that they may be, this is for me, just pray that they may be sensitive about how much homework to give. Yeah. Pray for the school teachers at Kamehameha School, because I know they give a lot of homework. For one, I am against homework. I believe when you give homework, you're telling your kids it's okay to do your work at home and ignore everybody else. So that all those kids who bring home a lot of homework, when they go out into the real world, they're going to bring their work home, ignore their family, and do homework. Because they were taught that way. Agree? No agree? You know, talking about teaching, this coming week, pray for me. I start my junior achievement volunteer, my yearly thing that I do at Waikea Elementary School. I get to teach second grade. Oh, man. They're smart, you know. They're really smart. So pray for me because it's very challenging. It's like kindergarten cop all over again. And they just walk all over me because I have a difficult time dealing with these young ones because it's difficult. And if you ever get a chance to do that, I guarantee you would appreciate teachers much, much more. Okay? So Jesus was a teacher. Yeah? He was a great teacher. And 60 times in the Bible, people called him teacher. Right? And we appreciate Jesus. We love what he did for us. And even Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. See, Jesus was a great teacher. He never entered a classroom, as we know a classroom. He never had a degree, as we understand an educational degree. Oh, I just realized that I have something in common with Jesus. We had no degree. Sorry, but he's God, I'm not. Yet all the world was his classroom. And no degree teacher did anything greater than what Jesus Christ did. He was truly and absolutely the master teacher and the greatest teacher of all time. So we gotta constantly be praying and encouraging our teachers. Maybe, you know, I know when my daughter was in high school, and one of the teachers really liked Spam and string beans. So I would always make an extra one so she could take it to her teacher. And she still tells me to this day, thank you so much. And, you know, you got children, send something to the teacher, an encouraging note. Or tell them, thank you for correcting and beating up my child because they needed it. Just send them something encouraging, something positive that they could hang on to, because sometimes they really, really need it. I mean, as we all need encouragement, amen? So number two, here we go. Encourage our teachers. Send them a note. Do something for them. Pray for them. Send them a note. Send them some food. I know they would appreciate it. Send them a Starbucks, man, with your kid. Again, but they, you got to make sure it gets to the teacher, okay? Because your kid might drink it before it gets to the teacher. And the teacher might get nothing. So make sure if you send them a Starbucks with your kid, call the teacher to make sure they got it. Amen? James 3:1, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that such will incur a stricter judgment. See, back in these days, teaching was a highly valued and respected profession in Jewish culture. And many Jews who embraced Christianity wanted to become teachers. And James warned that although it's good to aspire to teach, teachers' responsibility is great because their words affect others' spiritual lives. If you are in a teaching leadership role, you know, how are you affecting those you lead? Whether you're a spiritual teacher or not, teaching comes with a great responsibility. And at times, it can become very discouraging when the students are rude, when their parents don't care, or when they get opposition from other teachers or from their principal. So we need to encourage our teachers, encourage everyone in our reach. Titus 2:7, in everything, set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity and seriousness. So Paul here, he's urging Titus to be a good example for those around him so others might see Titus's good deeds and imitate him. See, Paul's life would give words of greater impact. Paul was a great person, a great example. He was able to say to people, follow me as I follow Christ. And if you can say that with confidence, that is awesome. Follow me, but not when I drive. Right? Other things, yeah. If you want someone to act in a certain way, be sure that you have lived that way yourself. Then when you have earned the right to be heard, your life will enforce what you teach. Could you imagine if no one wanted to be teachers? Could you imagine what would happen to our schools? They would bring teachers, maybe that's not qualified. Maybe the student teacher would go up from 20 to 1 to 50 to 1. Imagine trying to teach 50 children at one time. I have a hard time just trying to do my two children at one time. But we need to constantly be encouraging those who teach. Teachers, both spiritual teachers, secular teachers, they have a great responsibility. And that responsibility shouldn't be taken lightly. Because if our teachers teach without caring, without loving, the future would be a very, very dark place. People would be going around. They wouldn't know how to read. They wouldn't know how to write. They wouldn't know how to fill out a job application. I hear some students, they don't know how to write cursive anymore. They don't know how to read cursive anymore. They're not even teaching cursive anymore in schools. It's like, wow, if you don't teach cursive, how do you sign your name? I hope not with an X. And then the last one, Jesus' last command was to teach. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching was so important to Jesus that was his last command. Teaching them. We teach them the Word of God. We teach them reading, writing, arithmetic, social studies, everything. And look, Jesus' last command, it worked really well because look how far. People today are still teaching the Word of God. 2,000 plus years later, people are teaching the Word of God. So our teachers, this is Teacher Week. They are so important to us. They are so important to our children. And every Monday through Friday from 8 to 2, as parents, man, you get a break. You get to drop your children off. Those of you who take your children to school get to drop them off at school, either go home and take care of your household good or go to work while someone else teaches your children valuable stuff that they can take for the rest of their lives. I mean, I think that's very important. Amen? Do we have any teachers here? Teacher helpers? Could you stand up? I think that's you too, Frank. No, come on, please stand up. Because, really, no, keep standing. Pastor Aaron, you give them, I have a Starbucks gift card for you, so you guys got to stand up. So you can have a cup of coffee on us. So you guys got to stand up, because we're not done with you yet. Because we're going to make you do the hokey pokey. No, we're not going to do that. But we just want to stand up again so that we can appreciate you. Hamad Kawai. Come on. Yeah. We appreciate you. We will be praying for you. I got a text from one of the teachers here this morning. She was going to come. But, man, the teacher here, she not only has the job here, but she has a second job. She's been doing fundraisers for this whole year so that she could take her class on a field trip to Oahu to learn. And that is a teacher who went above and beyond her calling. She did garage sales. She sold coffee and iced tea in front of Walmart. She did concessions at volleyball games. She did fried rice fundraisers here. She went above and beyond her calling so that she could raise money for her class to take them to Oahu. And that's the kind of teachers we want. Amen? So we're going to take communion. Who's doing communion this morning? Pastor Aaron. Would you welcome Pastor Aaron? He is going to lead us in communion. Thank you, Pastor Aaron.
And thank you, Pastor Scott. Why don't we also say thank you as we remember our teachers here at New Hope East Hawaii, especially Pastor Scott. Thank you, sir. And as the ushers are passing out the elements, you know, this month we are in this series of remembering. So today was remembering our teachers. Next week we'll be remembering our mothers. The following week we'll be remembering our first responders. And then the last week of the month we'll be remembering sacrifice in honor of Memorial Day. Okay? So don't forget those. And basically what communion comes down to is that it's an act of remembering, just that. Remembering the wonderful thing that Jesus Christ did for us. And not to forget. You see, many churches only allow certain members. They say you have to be ordained to take communion. But we don't see that here. Because it's something that Jesus commanded us to do. You see, communion is not this super sacred thing. What we're going to do is together, we're going to eat a piece of bread and drink a cup of juice. In the old days, it was wine, but we don't like to serve Pastor Scott wine. So that's what we're going to be doing. Really, the sacred thing that happens in communion doesn't happen on the outside. It's something that happens on the inside. See, communion is an outward reflection of what's really going on in the inside. That we say, yes, Lord. Once a month, we come together, we do this, and we say, yes, Lord. We will not forget what you did for us over 2,000 years ago, which is basically to lay down his life for our eternity. And it wasn't something easy to do. In fact, Jesus Christ, being both God and man, still struggled with this. The night before he was crucified, he was actually out in the Garden of Gethsemane, down on his knees. It says this, that he was sweating blood, that he was so distraught. And he actually asked God, Father God, he said, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me. What he was saying is, I know how painful this is going to be, and I really don't want to go through it. And that was a man side of him talking. But then the spiritual side speaks up, and he says, but not my will, but your will be done. And that's what we get to remember today, that Jesus Christ allowed his body to be broken, allowed his life to be taken, allowed his blood to be shed for our eternity. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you greatly for the act of Jesus many, many years ago. And Lord, we pray that we will never forget what you have done for us. So as we take of the bread, Lord, and as we drink of the cup, allow us to do that indeed, to write it on the tablet of our hearts that we shall never forget. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. It says that on the night that before Jesus was crucified, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body that is broken for you. Let's take and eat of the bread. And in the very same manner, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood that is poured out, a ransom for your sins. Let's drink of the cup. And if you would you stand? And let's pray again. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this wonderful time that we get to remember you. Again, Lord, we pray that we would never forget, but that we would take that gift that you gave upon the cross, Lord, and allow it to flow freely through us, Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's seal this day together by just lifting up our praise unto God as we sing, Ain't No Rock Gonna Cry in My Place. Amen? Let's rock this place for the rock.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.